9:30 with me, Eldon Scott, to hear about barbecue events in the Pensacola community, win some amazing prizes, and hear from community leaders and how Sonny's Barbecue has built a strong Pensacola for 40 years. Pep Talk with Eldon Scott, spreading the spirit of barbecue far and wide. Remember to tell Sonny that Eldon sent you.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
No opinions, no arguing. Just the news, right now.
Right now.
Florida State Legislature passing a new congressional map. Cordell Scott's on News Radio 92.3.
Hours after Florida's State House voted 83-28 along party lines to approve a new congressional map, the state Senate did the same.
Record the vote.
21 yeas, 17 nays, Mr. President.
So the bill passes.
Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin.
Weekdays 4 to 7.
News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable. Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Well, I'm on my way. I don't know where I'm going. I'm on my way. I'm taking my time, but I don't know where. Goodbye to Rose, the queen of Corona. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard. See me and Julio down by the schoolyard.
Good morning, 810 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Getting ready to talk to Julio Diaz. He is the host of Let's Go Pensacola, heard at 4 o'clock tomorrow here on News Radio. Also, the host and founder of the Pensacola Movie Club to get together and watch movies. And this segment is brought to you by Sunday Market on Palafox. Make Sunday Market on Palafox part of your Sunday routine every Sunday, downtown Pensacola from 11:30 to 3:30. Julio, welcome back, sir.
Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. So, Mortal Kombat 2, timely. We were all looking for this 20 years ago.
well, no, not 20 years ago. It seems like it, though. So, there was a Mortal Kombat in the 90s, and then there was a Mortal Kombat 2, and I think there was maybe one or two direct-to-video sequels. But they made a new Mortal Kombat movie, like, right at the start of the pandemic.
Okay.
So
all
it's been a minute. It's been a minute.
Okay.
But, so this is a sequel to that one. So it has been a minute, but it hasn't been 20 years.
Gotcha. All right.
yeah. So, and if you're like me, you may maybe saw that film when it came out and basically forgot about it.
Apparently I did.
Which is what happened to me. I remembered the film being, you know, dumb and entertaining and something that didn't stick with me. And that's exactly what I expected out of this one, and that's exactly what I got out of this one. It is super fun. It's entertaining, as heck. You're not going to remember it in a week. But the difference this time from the first one is you have a couple of new leads, primarily Carl Urban playing Johnny Cage. From, you know, if you know Mortal Kombat from the games, you know who all these characters are.
Right.
Johnny Cage and Katana is the other new lead, played by a young actress whose name I've forgotten.
Is that Adeline Rudolph?
Yes.
Okay.
But Carl Urban, you know, from The Boys and from, you know, 9 Million Other Things, he's always a highlight of anything he's in, and that's absolutely the case here. He's so much fun.
Okay. Well,
movie.
You know, you and I are both big fans of Big Dumb Fun. You know, every once in a while, that's good stuff.
Exactly what this is.
The Billie Eilish Hit Me Hard and Soft, the tour, live in 3D, 2026, in parentheses.
Yeah, concert film directed by James Cameron.
Oh.
Or co-directed anyway. Billie Eilish is credited as a co-director as well. But yeah, it's a 3D concert film that Cameron's brought all of his 3D wizardry to.
Okay.
Quite a visual spectacular, and of course, great music from Billie Eilish. She was, one of our, you know, I think it's hard to argue that she's not one of our greatest current artists. You know, she's won a lot of Grammys, won 2 Oscars. You know, she's
widely adored by a certain audience,
yeah.
That's for sure.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, you know, future Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, I think it's probably fair to say. So, you know, chance to catch her in her prime, basically.
Sheep Detectives, or The Sheep Detectives with Hugh Jackman?
Best reviewed movie of the week, actually. Very, very great, positive reviews of this. I think it was 97% on Rotten Tomatoes. This is a little comedy where he plays a shepherd who reads to his flock. He reads them detective stories.
Oh, okay.
And when he drops dead one day, and foul play is suspected, the sheep decide that they have learned enough from these detective novels that they're going to investigate his death.
That sounds delightful. I love it.
Yeah,
okay.
It's a fun little flex.
All right. And then Neglected?
Not reviewed not Screen for Critics, but this is Josh Duhamel playing a police officer on his first police detective on his first day of retirement. Yes, we're at the stage where Josh Duhamel is playing characters that are ready for retirement. Do you feel ancient
right.
now? Because I certainly do. And he is approached that he must solve these cold case crimes because the person that is demanding that he solve these crimes has kidnapped his teenage son and buried him alive. Hmm. And he has to solve them before his son runs out of oxygen.
All right.
So kind of a high concept thriller, but not Screen for Critics, as I said.
Gotcha. What are you guys going to watch next week?
Not 100% sure yet. It's not a real strong week next week. We're looking to see what kind of art house stuff maybe we might get next week, and we'll let you know.
Okay, and is it true? Are we going to be getting the Top Gun and Top Gun Maverick release for a week that's supposed to be coming to a bunch of theaters?
I'm not 100% sure if we're getting them locally yet or not. I would imagine we will, because it is a wide release, and it's Pensacola, you know,
okay.
Naval Aviation kind of goes well here. but
we'll
haven't
see.
Seen it for sure yet.
Okay, and I thought, do you have an announcement for Pensacon? I know you kind of been teasing one. I don't know if you're going to say it this morning or not.
We do have a guest announcement coming today, so make sure you check out our social media. It's one for the... let's just say I'll give you a little bit of a hint, one for the mid-2000s Nickelodeon fans.
Oh, okay. I'm out, but I'm sure many people would be very interested, so fair enough.
That is a huge nostalgia factor right now, believe it or not.
Interesting.
Again, not to make you feel ancient.
Well, you know, too late. It's all done. Julio Diaz, he is the host of Let's Go Pensacola, 4 o'clock on Saturdays here on News Radio, and also the host of the Pensacola Movie Club. Follow them on Facebook. As always, Julio, thanks for the time. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right, thanks, Andrew.
8:15 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Why does Brother Andrew love Pope Leo and Amsterdam? Find out next in the Transgressors Memorial Service. PJ has traffic on the 5s.
Still working that disabled vehicle on the roadway, I-110 northbound at mile marker 3. Partial roadblock. Use caution. I'm PJ with your traffic on the 5s.
Part of downtown Pensacola at the Sunday Market on Palafox. Every Sunday from 11:30 to 3:30, you'll find fresh local produce, handmade goods, art, and great food from Pensacola's own makers. It's the perfect stop after church or brunch, and a great way to support the small businesses that make our community special. Make Sunday Market on Palafox part of your Sunday routine. Every Sunday, downtown Pensacola.
Come on.
Looking for reliable auto repairs without breaking the bank?
Well, yeah.
At Affordable Automotive, we keep your car and your budget running smooth.
That's more like it.
Hi, I'm Kenny with Affordable Automotive in Gulf Breeze. My father started this business over 30 years ago, and we continue to proudly serve the Gulf Coast with trusted local service. Whether you're a first-time or returning customer, we inspect each vehicle like it's our own. From oil changes, engine replacements, and diagnostics, our certified techs do it right the first time. Fast, honest, and fair, just like auto service should be. So if your car needs care, bring it to Affordable Automotive in Gulf Breeze, a mile west of the Gulf Breeze Zoo. Visit us at AffordableAutomotiveGulfBreeze.com and schedule your appointment today. That's AffordableAutomotiveGulfBreeze.com. Affordable Automotive. Quality you can afford.
Hey, this is Dr. Ben McMillan. I do a show on the Pensacola Expert Panel. We talk about your health problems.
Let me educate you about the Activator Method of Adjusting, which offers a safe and effective alternative to traditional manual adjustments. So whether you've been hurt in a car accident or been suffering from back or neck pain, chiropractic care could be your solution and not just a temporary fix.
Join me this morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
When storms pop up fast, it helps to already know where to go.
We've got all the details.
News Radio 92.3.
92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today for the Transgressors Memorial Service, remembering those who have transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must forever be cast into the abyss of dead names. Let's join Brother Andrew remembering those who we have lost.
This week, dear Otheran, is yet another opportunity to celebrate the triumphs of our cause, for today is not a day of holy cancellation, but a jubilant day of praise, all good news. Our first positivity report is for the burgeoning antigamy movement in the United States, which is being facilitated by modern technology. Antigamists, as you might guess, are people who do not want to be married, but who are still interested in having children. What some are calling the Babies Without Vows movement, or Offspring Minus the Ring subculture, is made up of people who want the personal satisfaction of raising another human without all the entanglements and complexities of having to share their lives with another adult. Several apps cater to such people in a variety of commitment-free flavors. Just a Baby is a dating-like app where instead of romantic partners, you're swiping for compatible egg and sperm donors or co-parents. The idea is to create a relationship similar to that of an amicably divorced couple, agreeing to share the burdens of raising a child together without any love lost between the adults. Modamily specifically focuses on people who want children, but for those who only want to have them with friends, not with romantic partners. Friends without benefits, you might say. And Co-Parent Match and Pollen Tree both help people find platonic co-parenting partners. Thus, instead of trusting in marriage itself to use parenthood and the stresses it brings to purge romance from a regular marriage, these people are skipping the painful desexification process entirely and jumping ahead to the sex-free detente phase, or what some people refer to as the I have a headache tonight for the next 18 years stage right from the start. What a beautiful assault on that oppressive, anachronistic, and hopelessly religious institution of the patriarchy, monogamy. As 483rd wave feminism has taught us, covenantal, unconditional, sexually exclusive marriage to a single person for the rest of your life, for good or for bad, in sickness and in health, until death do you part, is an absurd and wicked system designed to enslave women and turn them into barefoot domesticated tradwives, begging for financial support from their overlord husbands, instead of flourishing into the equal participants in the spiritually fulfilling world of jobs and bosses, which has long been denied to them. If there is anything, any one single essential thing that has always stood at the heart of Christianity and Western so-called civilization, it's been the nuclear family, dad, mom, and progeny. That's why we have always taught that the best way to eradicate Christianity and disrupt that annoying faith in Christ so many people have has always been to undermine marriage in any way possible. And clearly the best way to do that is to separate sex from procreation and from commitment and from sacrificial love and from permanence. Premarital sex, pornography, contraception, abortion, divorce, and every other deviation from the so-called trad family have all been part of the process of overthrowing Christianity and Western civilization in favor of the genderless, atheistic new age of sexual liberation, enlightenment, and bland grayscale boredom we dream of. And finally, the moment is here. Instead of being born into a permanent relationship that shows unconditional love between the opposite gender spouses, children now can be born into the insecure temporary scenario of being wanted, at least in the beginning, by two people who met a few weeks before and have nothing holding them permanently together. Just think of how fulfilling this will be for those children. This truly is a glorious development, and we sing forth with our loudest joyful wailing that marriage is dead, antigamy is here, and if all goes well, no child will ever need to know the safety and security of being born to parents who committed their lives to each other forever, ever again. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Second, the city of Amsterdam has become the very first capital in the world to ban public ads for fossil fuels, airline travel, and meat. Oh, Gaia-luyah! What a glorious day! Noticing that their public ads did not jibe with their goal of becoming carbon neutral by 2050, the Dutch city decided that it made no sense to be actively pursuing green policies as a government while allowing the planet-killing forces of carnivoria, petroleum, and air travel to use public spaces to promote the opposite. Once they realized that it's okay to highly regulate ads for alcohol and tobacco products, it was just a simple step to conclude that ads for eating meat, driving, and flying are just as dangerous as killing your lungs or your liver through substance abuse, and thus anything encouraged that such activity could be banned. As Anneke Verhoef of the Dutch Green Left Party told the BBC, quote, "I mean, if you want to be leading in climate policies and you rent out your walls to exactly the opposite, then what are you doing?" And to think, all it took was a little abandonment of free speech, something we've never really believed in anyhow. When asked whether this loss of freedom is a problem for her constituents, Ankie Baker, the leader of the Dutch Party for the Animals, said this move actually expands freedom when you think of it. Everybody can just make their own decisions, but actually we are trying to get the big companies not to tell us all the time what we need to eat and buy. So in a way, we're giving people more freedom because they can make their own choice, right? Such an elegant gaslight. When someone says you're restricting freedom, just pretend you're actually increasing it and hope they can't do logic. Wonderful move. Of course, this tracks very tightly with our own political principles, since the only reason we say we believe in freedom of speech is to protect our political speech until we have enough power to stop other people from saying things we dislike. That's because we believe that words change beliefs and beliefs produce actions, so the constant marketing of planet-killing evils like pork, planes, and petrol is coercing people to engage in those activities, which they wouldn't were it not for the persuasion of the propaganda. Now, it is true, thus far, Amsterdam has not seen fit to expand the program to its logical end, in which the greener a company is, the more its ads will be subsidized by the government, and the less green a company is, the more ads it will be taxed as a punishment to support the greener competitors. If the government isn't here to lead us in the practice of holy virtue signaling by suppressing bad speech and favoring good speech, well, I just don't know what a government is even for anymore. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
Finally, this week's mahogany and pearwood sitar of superiority 14 bamboo shoots goes to a very unlikely hero. Prepare yourselves. Pope Leo XIV, or as Her Highness Ilhan Omar would say it, Pope Leo Xiva.
The last time the Alien Enemies Act was invoked, it was used during World War XI.
Now, I know, it might seem a bit radical of us to present the leader of the Roman Catholic Church with such an esteemed instrument of spiritual power as the sitar of superiority, but hear me out. Or, to put the matter more accurately, hear him out.
First of all, I think it's very important to understand that the unity or division of the church should not revolve around sexual matters.
Now, be honest. Even with all the rumors about a liberalizing of the centuries-old doctrines of traditional sexual morality in the church as derived from the Bible, did you ever dream we would come to the day when the Pope himself would be telling Catholics that views on sexual morality should not define the church and orthodoxy? Us either. But here we are. What began as priests wanting Pope Francis's permission to bless same-sex Catholic couples apart from the sacrament of marriage has now become Pope Leo saying that sexual morality isn't even essential doctrine in the Catholic Church anymore.
We tend to think that when the church is talking about morality, that the only issue of morality is sexual. And in reality, I believe there are much greater, more important issues such as justice, equality, freedom of men and women, freedom of religion, that would all take priority before that particular issue.
Frankly, this is just amazing. He could almost be one of us. Does this mean the Catholic Church will no longer consider premarital or homosexual or extramarital behavior to be sinful? Does it mean divorced people will be able to take communion? We really don't know, and he hasn't exactly said. But it sure does change things for Catholics when the Pope rejects the New Testament's teaching on sexual sin being as great in seriousness as any other sin, and instead relegates it to at best a second-class status, sort of a moral misdemeanor, if you will. Now, it is true, we don't love him implying that there still is such a thing as lower-level sin or B-grade fornication. We'd certainly prefer him to say that all sexual activity is perfectly fine as long as it is validated within the bounds of the most holy sacrament of mutual consent agreements. But to get a Catholic leader to say sexual sin isn't so bad, after all, is a major accomplishment. A radical evolution, you might say, for the head of the Holy See. So good for you, Pope Leo the Xiva, for finally bringing the Catholic Church into modernity. That's one small sentence for a man, but one giant leap for acronym kind into the MMIist century. Benefactum, Your Excellency. Benefactum. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And now, brethren, sisterin, and otherin, having been cleansed of these hurtful words, give each other the holy virtue signal and go forth and transgress no more.
8:28 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. PJ has traffic on the fives, sort of.
Oh, okay. I-10 and 110 both continue to flow smoothly. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, Andrew, there's a big file release coming today. The Trump administration is reportedly going to start releasing, or actually, I believe they already have started releasing, the UFO files.
There we go.
Congressman Tim Burchett tells the New York Post he learned of the release during a meeting at the White House yesterday. He's a member of the House Oversight Committee and has been urging Trump to release the files. And I haven't had a chance to try to look it up, but I did see something on Fox here just a moment ago where it looked like maybe they've released the first batch of those.
Okay. All
right. So we'll have to take a look at that. And President Trump says the ceasefire between the U.S. and Iran is still on after the exchange of fire yesterday. U.S. Central Command says it conducted self-defense strikes against Iranian targets after Iran fired at U.S. destroyers in the Strait of Hormuz. The president downplayed that exchange and said the ceasefire is still in effect right now. And cleanup and recovery efforts underway after about a dozen tornadoes hit Mississippi. The United Cajun Navy and American Red Cross have deployed volunteers to the area that was affected and are trying to help victims find shelter, food, and supplies.
All right. Very good, David. Thank you so much for the update. Coming up next, we're going to be talking with a couple of friends, Ed Carson and Kristen Rhodes, about various issues from the week in the wrap, including that Milton proposal to put people who own vacant or abandoned properties on a kind of registry and punish them into compliance. Also, interesting story of the day to me anyway is that they might be rescuing three F-14s that still exist and putting them on display and maybe even flying them in air shows. Oh, it's every kid's Top Gun Final Countdown dream possibly coming back to life.
News. I'm Therese Crowley. President Trump describes Iran's unsuccessful attack on three U.S. warships in the Strait of Hormuz.
They trifled with us today. We blew them away. They trifled. I call that a trifle.
And CENTCOM pounded Iran drone and missile launch sites with more U.S. airstrikes today on oil tankers trying to break the blockade. Iran's foreign minister now posting CIA estimates are wrong and claims their missile and launch supplies at 120%. President Trump says we're still negotiating. The War Department has released the classified UFO files. Fox's Peter Ducey at the White House.
This is the first big batch of UFO disclosure ordered by President Trump. Some of the clips and videos on there have popped up different places before. Some of them have not.
All are now live at war.gov/UFO. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 8:31. 65 cloudy skies right now, and we'll get a look at our forecast with Brooke Richardson in just a few minutes. A 2011 Escambia County board action was supposed to prevent controversy, but it was never formally put into policy. Now it's at the center of a dispute over whether Commissioner Ashley Hoffberger crossed a line in the hiring of Escambia County's new library director. Commissioner Lumen May at last night's meeting pressing the county attorney on what happened to that rule.
Was a board action, a directive, but it was never implemented. It was never incorporated into any of the policy manuals.
Why? So
I
we had a board
do
action
not have an answer.
Was it recorded?
And it wasn't drafted in the format of a policy amendment of any or creating a policy. So there was no direction even where to incorporate that into a manual, whether it's the BCC manual or the HR policies and procedures.
And the 2011 action was meant to create a blackout period preventing commissioners and their aides from contacting human resources or selection committees during a recruitment. Text messages released publicly show Hoffberger's aide was actively communicating during the hiring process for library director, advocating for Christobel Rivera, who was ultimately selected over Bradley Vinson, the candidate that had been recommended by the library board. A formal policy incorporating the blackout period is expected to go before the board sometime next month. Escambia County moving towards putting a 10-year extension on the 1 cent local option sales tax on the November 2026 ballot. Yesterday, commissioners scheduled a public hearing for June 17th to consider directing the supervisor of elections to place the measure before voters. If approved, the tax would run from January 2029 through December 2038. A new law is designed to protect Floridians from hyperscale data centers. That's according to Governor Ron DeSantis yesterday. He signed SB 484 into law that bans utilities from passing data center costs, including electricity costs, onto residential and small business customers. It also requires large-scale users to pay their full cost of service and gives local governments the right to reject data center development. The governor said it's a much-needed protection for taxpayers and natural resources. Cox Communications and the Escambia County Council of PTAs and PTSAs honored 52 students from across the county this week at UWF for overcoming significant personal hardships, and that included medical challenges, family loss, and difficult circumstances. Each student received an engraved medallion and certificates from state and federal elected officials. The Cox Inspirational Student Hero Awards program has recognized over 5,200 students across the Southeast since it began more than 30 years ago in New Orleans. An 18-year-old Pensacola woman's been arrested after allegedly robbing a man at gunpoint, hitting him with the gun, and then chasing the victim's vehicle down the road. Deputies say Adriana Barron approached her sister's boyfriend at a home on Holly Hill Road Wednesday morning, pointed a gun at him, demanded he empty his pockets, and then hit him in the face. Investigators say she then pointed the gun at another man, and all three victims fled in a truck. Barron reportedly told deputies she was only trying to help her sister. It's 8:35 at News Radio, and PJ's got our traffic on the fives.
Travis brought to you by Discover. Discover wants everyone to feel special. That's why they double all the cash back you've earned on your credit card at the end of your first year with Cashback Match. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. I-10 and 110 are both flowing smoothly right now. Mobile Highway is clear through Beulah. We do have an update from Baghdad, and Andrew McKay has those details.
Yeah, we have a listener sent us in a video of the old Baghdad Road off of Highway 90 railroad crossing signal not working. It's a train crossing in front of a truck where the crossbars are up and the lights are not on. I've already let county administrators know that this is going on, but just please be careful in that area. As far as we know, that traffic signal, that railroad crossing, is not functioning this morning.
That is your traffic on the fives.
And now our Channel 3 weather forecast.
We will have a high chance of rain today, 60% chance of showers and thunderstorms, high near 77 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 68. For Saturday, 90% chance of some showers and thunderstorms, high near 79. Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 68 degrees. Heading into your Mother's Day, we will keep the rain chances around with a high near 81 degrees. And Sunday night, temperatures dropping near 72. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
We've got 65 degrees right now. It is cloudy this morning. And your next news in 30 minutes. And your money now. Markets are up this morning. The Dow's up about 0.25% at 49,733.95. S&P 500 is up just over 0.5%, 73,76.21. NASDAQ up over 0.75%, 26,025.40. 0.48 points. That 10-year bond rate is down just a bit at 4.35% this morning. Gold prices up $24.60 at $47.35.50. Silver's up $1.44 at $81.62. Crypto this morning, Bitcoin down $300 at $79,790. And, well, everybody's watching oil. West Texas Intermediate up just under 0.75%, $94.13 a barrel. Brent crude today is down just under 0.25%, under $100 a barrel. It's at $99.74. Taking a look at our gas prices around the nation, the national average is down a little bit today. It's at $4.54, down from $4.51 yesterday, and still much higher than it was a week ago. Looking at our state average, it is at $4.50 a gallon. Now, Escambia County's got some of the cheapest gas in Florida. AAA reporting the average price in Escambia County at $4.10 a gallon. Santa Rosa at $4.14. Taking a look at our financial headlines here for this hour. The monthly jobs report now out, and it did beat expectations. Analysts predicting about 55,000 to 60,000 new jobs in April versus the 178,000 the month prior. Instead, the Bureau of Labor Statistics says non-farm payrolls are up by 115,000 last month. As expected, the unemployment rate was unchanged at 4.3%. Anthropic announcing a new deal with Elon Musk's SpaceX. As part of that agreement, Anthropic will get access to more than 300 megawatts of computing capacity at the company's Colossus One data center in Memphis. The deal comes despite Musk being a critic of Anthropic, and the company expressed interest in working with SpaceX to develop multiple gigawatts of computing capacity in space. Microsoft is now offering a buyout to nearly 9,000 employees. It's the first time ever that the company is offering a voluntary retirement program. It's looking to spend more on artificial intelligence. Eligible employees would get a cash payment, continued health care coverage, and vested stock rewards. Employees for Microsoft have until June 8th to make a decision. And New Mexico's trial against Meta continues. The state wants the tech company and social media giant to put more robust child safety measures into place. The state also wants the company to pay $3.7 billion. Meta is now threatening to cut access to its social media platforms in New Mexico. That would include Facebook, Instagram, and WhatsApp. 8:39, our next news in 30 minutes. Breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
When the news gets complicated, you need better questions.
Senator Tom Cotton is from the great state of Arkansas. Senator Cotton, I want to welcome you back and begin with a lighthearted subject. My friend Rob Lockwood had a piece in the Post urging that President Trump and the Congress get behind getting rid of English as our official language and making it American.
So it sounds like my kids who ask sometimes if those people speak American.
Yes.
Hugh Hewitt. Weekdays 2 to 4 on News Radio 92.3. Informative.
Informative.
Local. Dependable.
Dependable.
Everybody jump! 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 Jump!
I said a hip hop. The hibbit of a hip hip hop. You don't stop.
Rap! Rap!
I will definitely call you back later, then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big circle.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Mr. Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
I miss all those old voices on the Santa Rosa County Commission, you know? We used a bunch of that stuff. Dave Peach, Sam Parker. No longer there, but, you know, that's what happens. But they're still good voices. I mean, you know, so. Good morning. It's the wrap. That means it's a chance for me to talk about, I don't know, whatever's going on in the world this week with my good friends Kristen Rhodes and Ed Carson. Both repeat offenders. Kristen's filled in for me a couple of times before. I was reluctant to ask Santa Rosa people on because of the drive. I just feel like it's an inconvenience. But, you know, you said, why wouldn't you ask? Of course, you know, right? So,
well, you know, just have to make sure that hubby is good taking the kiddos to school, and I'm here.
There you go. And Ed's always willing. He's fantastic.
That's right.
In fact, Ed and I didn't have not covered this yet, but Ed and I got to go tour the wastewater treatment plant for ECUA the other day. The Central Reclamation Water Reclamation Facility.
Right. Yep.
WWTP for me. Too many acronyms, so I'll talk about that coming up next week. Let's start with something that I found really interesting. I think is going to be an interesting conversation. I don't even think it's next week. I think the week after that in Milton, this vacant, abandoned property ordinance. Ed, you're familiar with this. You and I have talked about this
a little bit. Yes.
So you have vacant properties that the city wants to gently nudge in the direction of do something with it right, by putting them on a registry, which is after it's been vacant for 90 days, including houses, that you have to register that property. You have to do a couple of things like make sure it can't be entered into, you know, put up a sign with your information. And then you pay a mild fee. I think it's $150 for the first year. That escalates to, like, I forget if it's $250. Eventually it's $1,000, then it's $2,000. It tops out at $4,000 a year or $2,000 a year. I can't remember now after 5 years. The goal is to make it so that people don't want to keep abandoned properties like the old comic book store from being functional and being a part of job creation and just the vibrancy of the city. I understand the goal and I hate the process. This is eminent domain, slow walking eminent domain, sort of light or socialism with a face and a smile, what I've kind of been describing it as. But, you know, you're a business guy, you know, you develop things all the time. Right. What's your take on this?
Well, I'm a property rights guy.
Yeah.
I think if I'm keeping my property in good repair and maintaining the grounds, then I should be able to do pretty much whatever I want with it. I don't see where $150 is going to make me do a thing,
mm-hmm.
or $250 or $400 or whatever the amount is. I'm with you. I understand what the idea is. We have code enforcement to keep the outside looking good. And typically you get a visit from the fire department once a year or so, and they're checking you out inside. So I'm like you. I get what you're trying to do. I just don't think that's the way I would approach it.
It strikes me as very similar to sort of an HOA after the fact. You know, if you set it up in advance where you say, okay, these are the rules for property. But, I mean, even if you set it up in advance and you said any property bought in the city after this date, well, that affects the resale value of anybody who bought property before that was put in place. So it very much strikes me as an ex post facto tax that is – again, going to wind up punishing people for just using their property rights in a way you don't like. And Ed, I hate the fact that you stand in the way of progress. And here I am standing in the way of progress and forcing these neighbors to have to endure the blight. But that is what it means to own things, right?
Well, again, if you're keeping your property up, mm-hmm. maintaining the grounds, does it really matter if there's activity there? It may in the dense business area, you know, to activate the sidewalk and that sort of thing. But believe me, in the business world, if there's a market for whatever you're trying to do, you're going to try to do it.
Yeah.
There's no point in sitting on a piece of property and having that investment essentially, you know, doing nothing.
And that's part of the point that Stephen Presser, when he was talking for the city, was making is, you know, people overvalue their property, you know, they're too eager to hold on to it or whatever. But again, it's if the guy in the house next to you is doing things in the house that you don't like, but he's not breaking the law in code violation or anything like that, I think, well, that's what private property means, you know, and governments are supposed to be there to protect that. Even though I understand the impulse to improve the neighborhood, you know, and we would all rather see it, but it's not what we all want. It's what the owner wants.
Right. And so, again, back to the property rights.
Yeah.
I'm a firm, firm believer in that.
We're talking to Ed Carson and Kristen Rhodes here on The Wrap. A quick timeout for Traffic on the Fives with PJ.
Travis brought to you by Home Outlet in Pensacola. Flooring for every budget and big savings on your next home project. Taking a look at the big board. Just one vehicle crash on the board right now. US 90 at Spear Street in Milton. No roadblock. I'm PJ with your Traffic on the Fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. Local option sales tax has been, Escambia County's talking about putting it back on the ballot this year. I think that's likely to happen for ours to expand to be extended another 10 years. Santa Rosa is going to be putting it on the ballot to extend it. There's a little bit, there had been a lot of fighting over the language. Should it be just for roads? Should it include other things like it currently does, including conservation land and things like that? I think both of you are like kind of architects, board members, advocates, founders, right? I mean, you're both super pro the local option sales tax in Santa Rosa County.
Andrew, I have a picture that my almost seventh grader drew of me years ago when she was little, when we were on TV talking about the local option sales tax. I think the first time it came around, that's how long we've been involved with helping promote this.
Nice.
And, it's always been something that has kind of befuddled me a little bit when there's such an argument against a local option sales tax, because I don't know a better way to have a really fair and equitable option for improvements within the county.
Mm-hmm.
The local option sales tax is not funded 100% by residents in the county. There's so many taxes, or so much of it is paid by visitors, tourists, and let's be honest, no one stays in shops and spends money only in the county that they live in. You know, Santa Rosa residents come into Escambia County all the time and shop, and vice versa. And so wherever you shop, most likely you are paying to help the infrastructure and roads and things like that in that community. And so why not have that same benefit in Santa Rosa County? It's really a great opportunity to help with the growth that we've had, the needs are ever growing. And so we need that local option sales tax to help with those things.
You know, and when it comes to taxes, I'm just really passionate about fairness, you know, and so that's why one of the reasons I really hate property taxes, because I think they are really an unfair kind of tax. But a sales tax is largely a user tax, mm-hmm. right? If you're coming, as you say, if you're coming to a restaurant, you're paying a tax. And who shouldn't be paying that, or who should be paying that other than the people who use the service? And if you don't want to pay a sales tax, you can opt out of it by not buying things, of course. And so I'm the same way. And especially because it allows not just the residents, but it allows the people who are using the things that are being funded to be able to pay for it. Ed?
Yeah, I totally agree with what Kristen said. I've actually chaired the oversight committee for, I guess, since it started. And we get to look at the lists of projects and such. One other thing that's really important that I think gets lost in some of the conversations is that the county is able to use that money to leverage grants. And I'm talking about 2-for-1, 3-for-1, 4-for-1. And every meeting we talk about this particular provision that's allowed the county, I forget how many tens of millions of dollars to get in these grants that they otherwise wouldn't be able to put their part of the money up to be able to even pursue them. So
like state DOT, fed DOT, environmental protection money, all kinds of different sources that, you know,
need a local match. And if you don't have, your budget doesn't allow you to have the means to have that local match, that's free money that you're essentially missing out on.
And you know, the other thing is a lot of people don't seem to understand what is being done with it. And I would encourage them to look at the county website. Mm-hmm. We've got a very inclusive list of what's been done with it for the last, 10 years at least. And, there's projects in everybody's neighborhood. Every district has projects, and they probably don't even know they're there, but they're going on.
People want to talk about transparency in government. The local option sales tax has been very, very transparent through the years of letting the people know how that money has been used. And so there should not be any argument about transparency when it comes to the local option sales tax.
They put a sign up. Every time there's a project, there's a sign that says this was paid for by local option sales tax, which I think is good, good advertising, good explanation of what you're doing. What do you think about the impact? Because if property tax reform happens, if the homestead is allowed to be property tax exempt, at least for the county side, and I guess for the city side, we don't have a detail and the governor still hasn't produced one. So I don't know if it's even going to happen, but I'm kind of about like 30% chance it'll happen. But if that passes, suddenly counties and cities are going to be out, a quarter to a half of their revenue, depending on how they're configured. Maybe a third on average is pretty normal. I mean, the sales tax is going to be vital to just generating revenue to do basic projects, right?
Right. But, the loss can't be used for anything but capital projects.
Right.
So
it's got to be stuff. It's got to be tangible things.
Right. And there's, legislatively, there's a list of how it can be used, what it can be used for, but it's typically just capital-type projects, capital equipment. If the county needs a bulldozer, they can buy a bulldozer with it.
Right.
That sort of thing.
Do you think Jerry Cooey has been making consistently the point that people would authorize it if they knew it was just for roads. People who think that it's for land conservation or recreation or stormwater, some of the other infrastructure that it can be used for, that they would be, maybe they would reauthorize it or maybe they would say no. The study indicated that people have a variety of things they're interested in, and they're not only, one concept, roads only. The reauthorization tinkers a little bit with the language, but only to make it clearer. I don't think it really changes any of the categories. Are you comfortable? Do you think it's going to reauthorize with the current language, the way it's designed?
Andrew, it's a tax issue
in Santa Rosa County. I know you cannot predict it.
We do not have a crystal ball. Every time we think that we can, anticipate how people are going to vote, that's laughable that we can even try to expect to know the outcome.
Well, do you think the odds are better with the multiple projects, or would it have been better to just go with the one project?
I think it's, in my opinion, it's better with multiple projects, because if anyone thinks that they're the experts in knowing what the county's actual needs are in every square inch of the county space, that's just that they have too much time on their hands, honestly.
I know some people who do think exactly that. We hire
the commissioners and the county staff and the people who are focused in their areas of expertise in the county to know what those needs are and prioritize them. And so if we change the language to only be identified for one thing, we're pigeonholing ourselves. And the residents of the county, they want to know that what's important to them and what's their priority in their district has the ability to have funding too. They are more likely to vote for that if there's an opportunity for those needs to be met as well, rather than just being focused on one sole thing.
There was sorry, Ed, you were going to say?
No, I totally agree. I think to have a single use for it is a mistake, especially, like I said, in my role in that committee. Things come along from time to time, like, you know, the need for defibrillators for Navarre Beach.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a $40,000 item or whatever. Do we really want to start getting into, well, that's really not inside the language of what we voted for? And
right.
I don't think that's a good idea at all.
You know, switching gears a little bit, I was at a Chamber of Commerce here in Pensacola presentation yesterday on State of the Military. They do this every year. It's always very interesting. We had Thumbs, Captain Ted Elkins from NAS Whiting Field, and Mama-san, Captain Chandra Newman from NAS Pensacola. And I know Thumbs didn't really talk about what Whiting is doing with these intergovernmental services agreements or support agreements. But Mama-san talked about several of them that she's working on. I know Whiting has also established these, like with the city and I think with the county as well. The short version is this allows them to contract outside of the military to build things or to clean things or to repair things in a way that, I mean, they already do this. There's all kinds of contractors who work on both of these bases. And why? Because they can, you know, they're not the vagaries of being in the military, their schedules, all of that, but they can also get sometimes a better price. And when it comes to construction projects, a much better price than doing it through military construction. And so the theory is, let's save a bunch of money and let's use the private world to fix these problems or build these things. I love this idea. I mean, Mama-san's talking about doing it for basically a barracks for the Center for Information Warfare Training to almost triple their capacity, I think, and some other things as well. I'll come back and talk about this in just a second. But PJ has traffic on the fives. PJ?
There is a vehicle crash at North Palafox Street at Herman with a roadblock. Use caution through that area. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. To me, this is good for the local governments that are involved, good for the local, you know, builders, build hangars, repair ports, do all that kind of stuff. It's good for everyone. It saves the military money. I mean, this is all win all around. I'm almost surprised we don't do more of this.
Yeah, it is. It is a win-win all around. We know we love our military. We're big supporters of our military in all of the bases around here. But we do know that government, no matter what layer of it, does not necessarily work very speedy.
Yeah.
And so when you have the opportunity to partner with agencies outside of the base, outside of the government, to help with those projects, it allows those on base to focus more on their mission, to find cost savings, and to expedite the construction of some of these things or whatever it may be that they need. And I think that it not only helps the local economy, helps the military, like you said, it's a win-win. And I think it happens more than we hear about and it's talked about, but it's absolutely a wonderful partnership that can be done.
Yeah. And I'm familiar in the past with what they call an enhanced use lease, where they have military bases and VA hospitals have surplus land, and they work out a deal where somebody comes in and builds a hotel there for you know, the clients and such. And it's so much more efficient, and the costs that are saved are just unbelievable. I've contracted with the government for many years, and it's unbelievable.
Yeah, well, and actually, Captain Newman said the same thing for Softly Field. They're demolishing everything that's there. Her last tenants are leaving this month. It's going to be solar farms, and whatever people want to come build there, talk to me, give me a rent, pitch me a deal and generate some money for my trainees for the next 30 years, and I'm on board. And, you know, like you said, if it's land that can't be used for anything else, let's use it for the profit. All right, last thing. In 1 minute, we're going to solve the should we have the plane at Milton High School? Should we replace the plane with the helicopter from Whiting? Or should we have both? It's probably in the vicinity of $600,000 to do both. Probably in the vicinity of maybe $80,000 to $100,000 to replace the plane with the helicopter. But people are very attached to the plane that's been there for 50 years. Ed?
Not being a Miltonite, I don't really have a dog in this fight. However, it just strikes me that helicopters and Whiting and all that,
yeah,
that's a natural.
But the planes are, too. It's
half planes,
rotary.
Yeah.
Like, if the community wants both that bad, then they should start a GoFundMe page and the community can help fund it. If the delta is that big between just replacing one versus keeping both, then let the community step up and help pay for it.
I think there are loads of people, not just former aviators or maintainers, but citizens who would gladly fork up $100, maybe 500, maybe some would put up 1,000. You know, I don't think it would be that hard to get to a number like $500,000 or $600,000 with private donations, especially if their name's on something tangible on the display. And yeah, I would love to see both, because I never go past these things and think, man, what we need is fewer of those.
Right.
And I especially love the idea because people don't know what goes on at Whiting, and teach them that it's planes and helicopters and all the Coast Guard and all the Marines and all the Navy, and you know, at least for helicopters, and 60% for the fixed wing. So I would like to see both. I would probably give money for it, so I hope everybody else would. Kristen Rhodes and Ed Carson, thanks for the time.
Stream us at newsradio923.com. Newsradio 923.